Wired Jesus Podcast, March 10th, 2008, Creative Commons licensed.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters.
Wired Jesus Podcast.
I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known. Don't know where it goes, but it's only me and I walk alone.
Wired wanderings of a postmodern pilgrim.
I walk this empty street on the boulevard of broken dreams.
And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
Well, I don't like your God. Your God scares me.
Well, boy, we're pilgrims in an unholy land.
Hello, and welcome to the Wired Jesus Podcast, the wired wanderings of a postmodern pilgrim. I'm your host and fellow traveler, Tom Lieberg, and I'm glad you've come along for our journey together. Ah, those were the days. I must be getting old. I love this song and the video for it. And when I think back in 1985, I was a junior in college. I know all the groups that they make fun of. I get all the jokes when they play off the old MTV videos. I also understand some of the questions that are asked in the song about what happened since 1985. 1985 was the year Carla and I got engaged, 23 years ago. Fortunately, even with the difficult times of the past year, we're still tight and very much in love. In fact, yesterday we took our boys out to the House of Blues here in Chicago. My oldest son turned 18 years old, and so we went downtown for a great brunch, the gospel brunch there at the House of Blues, had an awesome choir. And it just was a great day. It was a great day to be a family, a great day to be in love, but it's not 1985 anymore. And the line in that song, 1985, that's been bothering me lately, is the line, "When did reality become a TV show?" Back in 1985, we had the afternoon circus that was the Jerry Springer Show, an endless parade of a circus-like freak show of dysfunctional people that typically ended in some amateur extreme fighting match. No one took it all that seriously. These people were generally so over-the-top, so stereotypical, that professional wrestling looked real by comparison. But as I've been exploring Second Life, I mentioned that in the last podcast, it's going to take a little more time for me to get a handle as to what goes on with it. I've also been exploring for what passes for entertainment now in Meat World. This ongoing fascination with reality shows seems to have been fueled by the writer's strike, partly the economics that, they're cheap. They don't require union writers, and they're quick to produce, so they dominate the airwaves and extra ones were put out. But they still seem to be out there, even now that the strike is over, and there seems to be a blurring between what we say is getting real and what seems to be a growing sick fascination with human debasement. Take, for example, the moment of truth and the now famous episode where Lauren Cleary unloads all her dirty laundry in her life to the horror of her policeman husband, to her family, and even the host. But no one stops her. She's cheered on by her father because of the money, and the audience joins right in it until all of her sexual secrets, her own selfishness, and her lack of any type of moral reasoning destroy her marriage, her extended family, and humiliates them all in front of the entire country. And by the way, she lost all the money and left empty-handed. True, in more ways than one, but she lost the money. Why? She lied when she said that she thought she was a good person. Needless to say, this is all over the web. On the YouTube link on my webpage, the closing comments that come after the audience applause and cheering is kind of Fox's official disclaimer, I guess. But you can see countless versions of that posted there. The one I've got is the last 9 minutes of the show. And Fox goes on, the host, says during the show that, maybe they shouldn't have pushed it so far. Maybe they shouldn't have aired the show. That crossed a line that even he wouldn't go. But they say in the end, they hope that she really learned something about herself and would be able to put her family back together again and kind of wash their hands of the whole deal. Good for Fox. You pay for a human train wreck, and when it happens, you offer an apology that's more like, we are teaching people a lesson, and then you watch the ratings soar. Like I said, clips are all over YouTube. They're pushing 1 million hits for just about every version that's up there. And people keep coming back to look like it's, rubbernecking at a, car accident along the interstate. That reality sells, I guess. Now, nearly as bad, in my mind, is Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew. I like some of the shows that VH1 has done in the past. I love the Storytellers series. Now, that's my kind of reality show. But, they're billed reality shows like Rock of Love and My Fair Brady and the whole Flavor Flav thing. It's just kind of goofy voyeurism in the tradition of Jerry Springer. I mean, Rock of Love, you can't get more stereotypical of, the dumb blonde groupie type of image. And with the other shows, they're the same. They're just caricatures. But Celebrity Rehab has a different feel. And in my mind, it's much more like The Moment of Truth. Because reality in Celebrity Rehab, like Moment of Truth, it's predatory in my mind and demeaning from the outset. I mean, you can read the reviews and look at the list of the sad parade of celebrities, and they're described in, TV commentators' reviews and other venues as, has-been, second-rate, irrelevant, D-list actors, however you want to take it. And in my view, not much attention is paid to the reality of an entertainment system that chews up people as a commodity, discards them when they're no longer profitable. But then if they can make another buck off them, they bring them on back, and we get to enjoy the wreck. But we really aren't pointed to the setup that created the cause. The episode that caught me was the one where Jeff Conaway is filmed going through the DTs. Here's an actor I remember on Taxi as a kid. I enjoyed him on Babylon 5. I mean, I'm a big sci-fi nut. And I really, really liked Babylon 5 when it was on the late 90s. He was on for 2 years. And here's this guy, stripped bare of any dignity, privacy, or worth, crawling on the floor completely out of control and wanting to die. Now, hear me here. That's not to minimize his own responsibility for his addiction. But is the helpful solution to do a video diary of the pile of crap that has become his life? And say that, you're doing it to get him healthy as a warning to others? You know, you get to the point where he seems to be, you know, any cash is welcome. Who cares if it's just to reinforce the reality that largely put him there in the first place? You're a commodity when you're acting. You're a commodity when you're a human wreckage. So pimp yourself out. Here's a paycheck and let America watch. It seems that we're now more interested in manufacturing reality rather than actually living it. And we're increasingly comfortable in calling this process entertainment. You know, I see these shows as different than the Scared Straight videos I saw when I was in high school to, you know, keep kids out of prison. Because I think we're fooling ourselves to say that, you know, these shows, you know, Moment of Truth or Celebrity Rehab, really have any educational value. They aren't one-time programs at reserve show times. They're primetime entertainment that rake in corporate sponsors and dedicated viewers who are going to buy them when they're released on DVD. I mean, why would you want to watch this over and over again? But there you have it. It will. You know, kids don't learn from this. You know, they're largely immune. And apparently, judging from the ratings, many of their parents and grandparents are as well. After watching Ben-Hur last week, I think it was Turner Classic Movies had it on, it seems kind of the direction we're going is not really that different from gladiatorial games. You know, what began as contests of human fighting prowess turned into blood sports and then creative killings for entertainment, and each step raising the stakes over the, you know, centuries and blurring the lines of reality and morality. It was a transition from entertainment from what is in life to entertainment to stimulate a response to see if you're still alive. And I think that's what makes my journey into Second Life so interesting. And like I said, I'll do more with that in a future podcast. It's going to take some more work, and thanks for the info you folks have sent me so far. But you hold up Second Life in comparison to, you know, these reality shows, and it's really rather tame by comparison. You know, sure, it has its weird sex clubs and multi-position sex animations you can buy for your avatar. But for the most part, these are isolated off from the rest of Second Life's world. Strangely, much of the rest of the world seems to be empty. This was described last year in an article in Wired magazine. But, you know, it just really hasn't caught on. Corporate sponsors are buying in, trying to find a way to make money off, and they aren't. But I've been wondering, you know, why does it seem so empty? It's not that entertaining, is I think what it comes down to. It's not like watching real people who are more screwed up than you are go down in flames just for the fun of it. Like I said, I must be getting old. Now, who would guess that I have an 18-year-old son? But, you know, I think back, I remember when my grandfather would snort and make comments every time feminine hygiene products were mentioned on TV. I think his ashes are turning in his urn repeatedly with every Trojans ad or genital herpes treatment commercial when it comes on. I look at my kids, and yeah, they're pretty much immune. They've asked their questions about what that is. My wife, the nurse, gives them the answers, and yeah, we move on. It's just part of what our world is. But I think there's a world of difference between a commercial and what now passes as reality shows. And the whole thing really complicates the spiritual journey. You know, churches should be places where people can be real, you know, accepted for who you are, exactly in the condition that you're in. Now, in my mind, that's the biblical message. But too often, congregations give off a message that, well, you know, you're welcome, but it's so we can make an example of you, to be an object of entertainment for us or a trophy for our false sense of inclusivity or, you know, a salvation trophy because we won you to Christ and saved you from hell. You know, the reality of the Spirit, the reality of the message of Jesus is that you're welcomed into community to be comforted, to be healed, to become human again. And I think that's the sad part of the moment of truth and celebrity rehab. Lauren Cleary, unless it was all an act, who knows, needs to hear real unconditional love, that she doesn't have to believe a lie that she's a good person, whatever that means, or live with Fox's label as a bad person. You know, God's reality is that she is still his person. Jeff Conaway needs to hear the reality that continuing to pimp yourself to studios won't break your addiction, won't give you dignity. A real community that cares for you, that understands suffering and redemption will. That's what makes us human. I think those shows take us in a dehumanizing direction instead. The funny thing is that from at least my limited perspective, the digital world may actually be somewhat safer. I'm getting the feeling that digital thrills are getting stale. That our hunger for intimacy with real people is driving us to a reality show voyeurism that's based on proving I'm alive and of worth, and it's done through a parade of other people's death, both real or emotional or otherwise, and proclaiming their worthlessness to elevate my own. If anything, you may get more truth and caring online because it's still relational and it's two-way. There's still an element of choice, whereas TV is still one-way. The message still is that from, what was that, the 60s? Tune out and tune in. I don't know. Like I said, maybe I'm getting old. But places like Gink World, The Ooze, some of these online communities that are out there and blogs that are being done by postmodern folks and podcasts to go with them, you know, that's just a whole different affirming reality that I'd much rather be a part of. So when did reality become a TV show? You know, I don't really care anymore. I'll watch a few of my favorites like New Amsterdam, South Park, and Tony Bourdain. And then I'll find a place to talk to a real person. You give it a try, too. Might be at Starbucks, might be online. Who knows? It might even be in a church. That's all for this podcast. Check out the links online for all this pathetic weirdness that I mentioned today. Now, on the upside, you know, in thinking about this, I thought, you know, this is really kind of depressing. And, you know, with some of the garbage that has happened in my life lately, you've heard a lot of that. You don't need to hear more of that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start something new and leave a link to a Wired Jesus featured congregation. That whenever I do a podcast, I'm going to highlight some of the really awesome and real congregations that are out there where you can join the spiritual journey in some new and creative ways. These are congregations I've found online doing some of my research and writing over the years. Some are congregations where I know the pastors, others are not. This podcast, I'd like to steer you to one of my long favorites, Artisan Church in Rochester, New York. I've been on their email list for several years, back when they were actually two separately worshiping congregations. The pastors are very creative guys, and the way they integrate art into worship and spiritual life is outstanding. Now, it certainly helps to be in Kodak country where they have, you know, some top-notch geeks doing their art production. But through their merger, they've actually become a stronger congregation. They now have their own building. And what I also find to be very cool is that they're actually a denominational mission start and affiliated with the Evangelical Covenant Church. So it just goes to show that even, you know, denominational types can break out of the old school wineskins of what church is supposed to be. So if you want to check out a congregation that's keeping it real rather than manufacturing it, check out the first Wired Jesus Congregation, Artisan Church. The links are on the webpage. So thanks again for listening to Wired Jesus, and see you out there on the road.
What if God was one of us? Just a slob like one of us. Blue, 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 blue. Yeah, blah, blee, blee, blee.
Well done. Very good.
Dr. Evil, that was fantastic.
Thank you, number two.
I wrote that.
Yeah.